good to get a win. We acknowledge that there's some positive and negatives that's usually associated with preseason football. But there's a lot of things to build upon in this football game.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live, presented by Xbox One. Xbox One bringing fantasy football to life. I'm Missy Matthews, joined today by Bob Labriola and Craig Woofley. Guys, we're back in the comforts of the Southside practice facility. No longer sweating it out at St. Vincent, but it is still hot out here today.
Yeah, and no dorm rooms. Big thing, Wolf.
Oh,
no,
that's huge. Yes.
No dorm rooms.
I'm in my own bed. I love it. I'm in my happy place.
Well, of course, we do know that the Steelers won 19-16 against the Buffalo Bills at Heinz Field on Saturday. So today we're going to recap that game. Guys, first of all, I know it's the preseason, but it is a big deal that they won. First win in the preseason almost 2 years.
Yeah, and I really like the way, you know, I think it's pretty much as good as it gets, you know, for a second preseason game. And, you know, the fact that the Steelers did win was important, but even more important than that was how it happened. I mean, it wasn't as though Mike Tomlin kept his first units in extra long to build up a lead or take advantage of guys at the bottom of the Bills depth chart. Guys, the playing rotation was as it was supposed to be. They stuck with the script. You had some people who you wanted to see make big plays, for example, Ben to Antonio Brown here, Ryan Shazier. But then at the end, it was a couple of undrafted rookies, Vic Saoto and Howard Jones again, combining on the play that set up the game-winning field goal at the end. So I really like the way the Steelers went about getting the win in addition to the fact that they actually got one.
And I really like that Howard Jones and Vic saved us from going into overtime. I know you were happy too.
Yes,
I was down on the sidelines with you.
Yes, it was, you know, you're standing there, you're thinking about it. Oh, man, if the NFL's going to do anything, cut out the overtime in preseason. You know, all you're doing is exposing more reps to possibility of somebody getting hurt. You don't need it. You know how to go into overtime regular season. It would be nice if they just said, okay, if you got a tie, take the time. The point is, this was a game that I think the Steelers, it was great to win. You really wanted to win because you cannot keep going 0-4s with a young team. And I think it was important to get that W.
Well, in the no overtime in preseason's lap, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that something that the owners have been kind of toying with in league meetings?
Yeah, it's something that has been talked about, but my personal opinion is that it won't happen anytime real soon because I really believe that there is still some sort of attempt to create the reality that preseason football is every bit as important as regular season football. And if the owners would come out and say, well, we don't need overtime in preseason games because why would you want to play any extra snaps in that? And then you open yourself up to, well, then, you know, why are there four and on and on and on? So I agree with the sentiment that overtime in preseason is just ridiculous. But I think that for it to be eliminated, I would think that the coaches might have to get among themselves and just handle it out on the field. For example, you don't attempt a field goal when you're losing by three. Or if you score a touchdown to kick the extra point to tie, you go for two. Those kinds of things I think are much more reasonable to expect to happen in the near future than them eliminating overtime. Hope I'm wrong, but that's kind of the way I see it.
Or maybe we just hope our newly signed kicker hits that baby through from the 32 on the extra point and doesn't miss.
Oh, there's that, too. There's that, too.
All right, well, let's talk about Steelers rookie Ryan Shazier, guys. Highly anticipated debut at Heinz Field. He was dealing with that knee bruise or the boo-boo, as Coach Tomlin was referring to it for a while. But, you know, it was kind of exciting. As soon as he got out there, he started making an impact on the field. He had 11 tackles, 9 on defense, 2 on special teams, and, of course, that interception.
Yeah, the tackles, you know, were nice to see because you're hoping that your inside linebacker, even though he's missed some days at camp and then also the preseason opener, that whole find the football thing when the other team is running the ball is very important, and he showed that. But the interception to me, that's why Ryan Shazier was drafted in the first round by the Steelers. You know, Scott Chandler is a good receiving tight end. Ryan Shazier covered him. He was in perfect position. And not only was he in perfect position, but when the ball came, he turned his head, found the ball, made a play on the ball, and caught it. You know, that's not easy to do, especially sometimes with rookies. You might get a little handsy, you know, get your hands on the guy that draws a penalty flag now. He didn't do any of that stuff. His technique was sound, and the athletic play that he made to me was a difference-making kind of play for a guy at that position. That's why he's a number one pick.
He was ginormous. You know, I thought when this young man came out and got the start, I'm thinking, well, it's probably going to be a slow start for him. And then you just watch it. Here's 50. There's 50. Here's 50 again. From groundhog level, when you have that view, you see the cutback. The back goes, and there's nothing but a hole. Suddenly, it's like Batman. I mean, the guy's on you before you know he's on you. And he, you know, I love the way he just was suddenly appearing in the hole, make the tackle. But what we saw was, and then what I really liked was, he tackled downhill on one play. He beat Doug Ligurski to the spot, got under the big Ligurski, jacked him up, and then made the tackle. We saw him roll out and get deep on the pass interception. And then on the kickoff returns, he was tracking the ball carrier down and making hits. So he really did it. Three-dimensional all the way through. I was very impressed with him.
Yeah, and what I liked, too, was, you know, the Steelers were putting him on kickoff as coverage as well as defense. So you're trying to see what this guy has in terms of his conditioning. Is he going to get tired right away? Can he still perform? Can he fight through the fatigue and continue to perform? However, it was not all roses for Ryan Shazier on that third and 27. He kind of... I don't know if his feet got out from under him or whatever it was, but Scott Chandler caught a little pass, made a quick move inside, left him on the ground, and only gained 24 yards. Now, it still didn't convert the third down, but it put him in field goal range, and then Dan Carpenter came on and made that field goal. So, you know, Ryan Shazier talked about that after the game. To his credit, he knew that that was a mistake that he made, but, you know, you still see a little bit of the rookie every now and then. But you saw some dynamic playmaking, too.
Yeah, definitely some things you like. And here's what Shazier said about that interception and how he got his hands on the ball.
We was in man coverage, and I just played the perfect technique that the coach has been teaching me the whole time. Once I looked back, I seen the ball was coming, and I was like, oh, this is my opportunity. I got to take advantage of it.
You didn't just catch it. You ran with it. You kind of looked like a running back there.
Yeah, I was trying to get in the end zone, but... I'm going to get it next time.
I feel like he did a great job. You know, came in, made a lot of stops for us. The interception was huge. Just to come out here and play like that after injury is just true football etiquette right there. You don't see that from a young player at this level that fast. And him showing that is very promising and goes to show you what type of player he is.
Guys, not a bad thing when Lawrence Timmons has such high praise for you after your first game where, you know, you didn't play the whole time. But a lot of positives, and Shazier did admit that his knee is not 100%, but he said, hey, I'm going to go with it, and coaches told me I could play, so I went out there and did what I could.
Yeah, and it was important, I think, for him to get out on the field, too. I mean, not only for him to get some preseason action, but also to be out there with his teammates to show that, you know, these boo-boos, to use Mike Tomlin's word, are not going to keep him sidelined when there are games to be played. And, you know, again, I said this about Le'Veon when we were in training camp early. You know, there's a pecking order in the locker room that is established based on performance on the field. As Mike Tomlin has said, this is a show-me profession, and these young guys need to show their teammates that they're going to be there for them, they're going to be there with them, and when they are there for them and with them, they're going to make some plays to help them win.
You know, the thing that I really love about this kid is, you know, he's very bright. He plays with his eyes. You know, I was amazed at his retention and his ability to do the things that he did. The other thing about it was just listening to him in some of the post-game stuff, I like the humility. I think a humbleness at heart will go a long way towards an increased learning curve, and you get the guys around you. I like this kid.
All right, well, let's talk about the Steelers' first-team offense. Obviously, second preseason game, we saw them a little bit longer than we did against the New York Giants, and things were clicking on offense. That was definitely a bright spot other than Shazier.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the no-huddle looked very efficient to me. You know, Ben, saying that Ben is in command to me is, you know, it's almost like the saying the sun rises in the east. However, you know, like, for example, the New York Giants with Eli Manning, also a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, same age as Ben, same draft class as Ben, he is not having that in-command kind of preseason. So it is worth noting how well Ben has been playing and how well he has looked. The thing to me was, I think this is the play that really sold it for me. Marcus Wheaton making that play in the back corner of the end zone. It was a beautiful throw by Ben. You kind of expect that from him. But Marcus Wheaton, that is fundamentally perfect execution. Hands, feet, maintain possession through the catch when you come up, because that's the Calvin Johnson rule. If, you know, Marcus Wheaton had gotten too excited and wanted to celebrate before he actually stood up and showed the official the ball, that's not a touchdown. So the fact that he did what I consider a savvy veteran play for a young player, to me, might have been the highlight of the game.
And you add on the fact that they were throwing a lot of quick strikes, you know, like AB and stuff like that. And then here goes Marcus Wheaton. He threw a double move, that 2-4 from the Buff Bills. If the guy didn't dislocate his lumbago, I don't know what, because he got all turned around. But that's what you want to see from a wide receiver, somebody that can sell that post cut and then take it to the flag. And, boy, that was just beautiful. Loved it. And I love the fact of the efficiency. Think about it. Ben goes three drives. He's got two touchdowns to show. The one drive ends on a 9-yard completion to Heath Miller on third and ten, actually, and he gets 9 yards. I mean, that's a pretty productive offense that went out there in the first three series.
Right, and a big thing with Wheaton, especially going in his second year, and a guy who needs to step up amongst wide receivers, but also Antonio Brown. I mean, a 76-yard catch and run, AB showing that, yes, it's the preseason, but he's still here to play.
Yeah, and I think he showed Dree Archer a little, you know, when you're out in the open like that, finish it. You know, you don't want to get tackled after a 46-yard gain. You don't want number 25 there, you know, to get you on the angle and get you down on the ground. When you're in open spaces like that in the NFL, the next play has to be an extra point, because if it's not, you may end up with nothing. So, you know, once again, I think Antonio Brown is another one of those guys, still not a grizzled veteran. However, he is in a leadership role, and the way he practices and comports himself as a professional, I really think is an example to those other guys.
And did you notice he's learning, because he didn't come anywhere near the sidelines like Miami. He was in the same spot in Miami. He stayed
That's
away from the
point.
Sidelines. There you go.
He learned already. All right, well, as you mentioned, Labs, the no huddle, almost exclusively what they ran with Ben Roethlisberger. And Ben spoke in the locker room today before practice, and he said they went through the tape. He only saw one minor issue, which was good to see in terms of that. He's also hoping going into the Eagles game that they'll do a lot more of that, because it is obviously a bigger test doing it on the road opposed to Heinz Field. And here's what Antonio Brown said about implementing it last game.
Absolutely. We get a chance to get going fast, catch the defense off balance. Allow Ben to make reads and allows opportunities to be open, and because the defense and some weaknesses not allowing them to get their plays in.
What was the biggest thing that was clicking with the offense this game?
I think we came out and started fast. Got some things going in a positive direction. Was able to move some things, and still got some scribes to make, but I think it was a great start to the no-huddle today.
Guys, Ben also told us something funny today in the locker room, about the no huddle. He said between wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends, he gives them a pop quiz. Shows them 5 hand signals. You have to then write down what it's called, what the route is, and they're keeping track. They've been doing this since training camp. So Ben said this will be the last week, and if you have the most points for misses, you will be buying the entire offense pizza and chicken wings. I wonder if you can still get in on that, Wolf.
No, I'd be afraid I'd be the one that having to buy.
Why, man, getting in on, you know, the feast?
You got to like it, though. I mean, because it's only the receivers and the running backs and the tight ends.
Not the O-line. The O-line eats for free no matter what.
They eat for free no matter what.
I'm in.
See what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you here. That's a free meal probably on Wednesday.
You know what, Missy? You're right. Dadgummit.
All right, well, let's move on to the defense. And, of course, we have to start with Troy Polamalu. First time we saw him in live action. Probably since last year. I mean, we didn't really see any during practice, and it was good to see he shook off the rust, and Troy was Troy.
Yeah, I mean, he did enough. You know, we didn't see Troy in tackling drills at training camp, which, okay, I have no problem with that. We didn't see Troy in the preseason opener. I'm okay with that, too. Troy really hasn't. He has participated, but I think at this stage in Troy Polamalu's career, the most important thing for him is to get his body ready for September 7th and then for what is going to follow. He ran around a little bit, hit some guys, showed that He hasn't forgotten how to play football. I'm fine with that. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to Troy making just cameo appearances this Thursday against the Eagles, and maybe, you know, he doesn't even play at all against the Carolina Panthers. As I said, I want Troy Polamalu's body to feel as good as it possibly can starting September 7th for what we hope then is, I don't know, 18, 19, maybe 20 straight weeks of football.
I would agree, Bob. I think you're right on. I mean, the fact is we saw what Troy needed to get done. Now, this is the only thing I can say that I saw was any sort of a problem. He missed. He's going for the strip here. But I like the fact these guys are all going after takeaways. I mean, they got fumbles. We got defensive pressure. You got sacrations going on out there. You love all this because it's gonna be a high-voltage defense if they can keep up that sort of pace and pressure that's going to turn into things like this. Those takeaways are huge.
Absolutely. And Troy pointed out all those good things, but he also didn't really want to talk about being able to work in live action settings with Mike Mitchell, kind of downplayed it, said, yeah, it was good, wouldn't really elaborate, but he did seem a little upset, I guess, about some of his mental mistakes and also penalties.
It was nice to get a few turnovers. It was nice to come up big in the red zone areas. Of course, we made a lot of mistakes that we need to learn from, and we're very grateful for this win, though.
What are some of those mistakes you think you guys need to focus on this week, especially since it's a short week?
Well, there's a lot of penalties. That's the first thing that we have to, play better, play smarter, play with better technique, and we'll see from there.
Short week, but right after the game, admitting that, yes, there were those penalties and something they want to work on heading into Thursday.
Yeah, and I really think the defensive backs have to be especially conscious of the penalty situation. There's one right there, because this is a point of emphasis, you know, with the officials this season. They've been calling a lot of them in the preseason. I believe it will continue early on in the regular season. And, you know, that one, that hands to the face that we saw there, Cortez Allen with Sammy Watkins, you know, that's a third down play. You're off the field. You can't have that in that situation. So, you know, guarding against these kinds of things, maybe they're not, it wasn't that much of a big deal in terms of what happened at Heinz Field against the Buffalo Bills, but you don't want these to become habits, because starting September 7th, I really believe the officials are going to continue to call this very closely, and once the games start to count, you know, an extra offensive possession or two for the other team, that's bad news.
All right, we also had a chance to catch up today with long snapper Greg Warren. He did have a successful surgery, which was good to hear, and he kind of gave us an update on his knee injury.
I was just blocking. I was just blocking and braced on it, and it just, you know, kind of popped, and I knew that, you know, something was abnormal when it happened.
A fluke thing, anything like that ever happened to you before?
Yeah, I mean, I've had two knee injuries before this, it was just one of those things. I think it just happens, you know. Sometimes your body's put in positions where it's maybe not the most natural, and when that happens, then you get an injury. So
pretty happy that it turned out to be what it was as opposed to a long-term
injury. Yes, yeah, I think it could have been a lot worse. And I think after the surgery, they were very happy with the way things went.
Greg said he did have two prior knee injuries. This not as bad as the previous ones, which is good to hear. And it did happen that Wednesday joint practice with the Buffalo Bills at St. Vincent College.
Yeah, and those guys are, you know, I mean, they're kind of taken for granted, as Mike Tomlin said in his news conference. You know, it's an underrated or under-talked about skill or act until something goes wrong with it. And you know, they're not that easy to find. It's based on the rules in college, punting especially, when the punt team, when the ball is snapped, they're able to run right down and cover the kick. So that impacts the way the punt return team, you know, can deal with trying to rush the kicker too, because they also have to be aware of those guys running down at their return guy. So in college football, Mike Tomlin believes that the long snaps don't have to be as accurate and the velocity doesn't have to be as good as it is in the NFL. So, again, it's trying to find a long snapper is not easy, not as easy as it sounds, and they don't grow on trees, Wolf, I checked. Not even trees in on the south side, because you know there's none in the trees in Latrobe.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed in Greg, though, because he didn't live up to the legend of Kiko Alonso, the excellent middle linebacker for the Bills, because the legend of Kiko says he had an ACL injury in the preseason. They said he did his own ACL surgery by the moonlight with a hunting knife. I was like, Greg, you got to beat that one, buddy.
All right, well, practice is still going on. It's going to last until about 5 o'clock. We are anticipating that Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin will be speaking, so, of course, we'll have that for you at Steelers.com. Woof, we know you want to get out to practice, so we're going to end the show so you can go watch.
Can I get a candy bar?
Sure, we'll even get you a water.
I'm in.
And just a reminder that tomorrow at 12:30 will be Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin's press conference previewing the upcoming game against the Philadelphia Eagles. That, of course, will be streamed live on Steelers.com, and then we'll be right back here at 4 p.m. to update you on that and also hear from some of the players previewing the game as well. So that does it for us here today on Steelers.com Live, presented by Xbox One. For Wolf and Bob, I'm Missy. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.